Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, we finally made it through the out-of-conference schedule.
Yeah, it was 12 quarters of what you were hoping was you'd learn a little bit more on the good ledger and the good side about this team. But at the end of the day, I don't know, maybe the competition was enough. But we're done. It's bye week, Big Ten football schedule. No more true knockover tomato cans. I mean, there's some teams that are struggling in the Big Ten, but it won't be at quite the level that Penn State's faced. I think they've let's just say this. They're still ranked very highly, top five in the country, top three, two, maybe two in all the polls. But more than anything, I think a little shine is luster's come off the shine for Penn State during this out-of-conference schedule, right? They've become sort of the like, well, they won big, but they were supposed to win big. And, well, you know, they'll be better when they play better teams. So I think it's time for them to step back in the relevance court.
Yeah, well, let's start first, Andy, with this schedule, the three cupcakes for out-of-conference games. I hated it. To me, they're nothing more than glorified scrimmages. I understand why they're doing it, but I don't like it. Should the Big Ten, and I'm not even saying the NCAA because they don't do anything, but should the Big Ten at least follow what the Southeast Conference is doing? The Southeast Conference is adding a ninth game, and then they require at least one of the out-of-conference games to be against a Power Four opponent or Notre Dame. I forget what the wording is, right. But at least one of the games has to be something other than a cupcake.
They put some parameters in place, and I think the Big Ten should take a close look at those parameters. And in terms of requiring its members to follow the same thing, we're in this new power conference where, you know, there's two huge conferences and they're the big ones, and it's the second year of the 12 team playoff. So what becomes it? You're learning by doing. So you're sort of flying and building at the same time. And while we're learning and flying and building, I think one of the things that is becoming clearer now, and not just because Penn State, there are other examples of it. More tomato cans means less. In other words, more cupcake games actually means less for you. It's not beneficial to you. It's not to your advantage to go out and schedule three Power Four teams at the same time. You know what I mean? That's not it either. You have to strike a better balance, and this is not a good balance. I think that's one of the big takeaways for me for Penn State, at a team with such high expectations and, you know, so much returning talent and at the level they're at, this is no good for them. This doesn't work. It can't look like this because it doesn't work. And I didn't think that going into the season, but coming out of it, I'm like, yeah, if you're at the level Penn State was at this year, it doesn't necessarily hurt you, but there's not a single ounce of value proposition in this for you anymore. So competitively football-wise, monetary-wise is different, but competitively football-wise, it has to look different than this. Because this doesn't work for a team at this level.
Andy, I'll take the other side for sake of discussion here.
Okay.
First of all, you can't – I understand what you're saying, you know, on the financial side, but you can't eliminate the financial side. Guess what? In these places, you know, money is everything, and they need the money to keep putting out a competitive team. NIL, so on, compete for portal guys in recruiting, all those things. So by playing cupcakes, you get the extra home game. If you would play a better team, you'd have to do a home and home with them. By scheduling three cupcakes, you get three home games. You get the revenue from the three home games. All right, said that, set that aside. Now, You said on the competitive side, it doesn't help. Here's what it where it does help in the competitively. James Franklin is so process oriented. He looks at the long range, the long run, the big picture. If you're going to win in a 12-team playoff, a year ago, Penn State played 16 games. Had they won the semifinal game, gone to the championship game, they would have had a 17-game season.
NFL regular season.
Exactly. That's an NFL season. And you want to keep your players healthy. And it's not just, oh, I don't want them to break an ankle. It's also just the wear and tear on their bodies. So by scheduling three cupcakes, there was not the same strain. There wasn't the same number of reps. It wasn't like playing a big, strong physical team. You're playing lesser opponents. And, you know, towards that point, Andy, it seems like they've come out of these three games pretty much a healthy team.
They have come out of it a healthy team. I just think two out of three ain't bad, Jimmy. I don't have a problem with two of them. And I'm not saying play Texas or LSU in this game. You know, play New Mexico. You know, play Utah State. Put another Power Four team, you know, on your schedule. And I just don't think three of them benefit you. I you're not wrong. I understand the financial side of it. I just think you need a little more meat on the bone to get ready for a Big Ten schedule when you're a team at this level, because I'm not sure they learn much of anything over the course of these three games. A little bit, maybe, but did you really, really, were you really able to fully test what you were looking for to actually find an answer? That seems like it would be an impossible scenario under three teams in a row like this. So,
well, what they also did was able to play a lot of young guys, able to learn something about them with the reps. And it really struck me, Andy, I think the freshman who's really performed well, caught everybody's eye, is this Chaz Coleman. And it was interesting to me, I believe it was after game two, James Franklin talked about him and said, obviously he's young, gonna get better with more reps. And the fact is we were playing like three deep in this schedule. When it gets to the regular season and it's more a two deep that you're playing, Chaz Coleman will get more reps. So what that tells you, what they learned from him is, as a true freshman, he came in. Number one, he proved himself. So we found that out. And we also found out he can be in the two deep later when the season gets going. So what they did in many ways, playing that three deep, they found out about the young guys. They know they'll tighten up the rotation once the conference schedule starts. So, and the last point, you say they didn't learn much about the team. I agree, but I also think, Andy, this year's team is such a veteran team.
Correct.
You're not finding this offensive line doesn't have three new players on it. You've got returning running backs, returning quarterback. Those, for that reason, I don't think you have to look at this team and say, gee, they're not battle tested when they went through that playoff run last year. So I think you combine all those things, it might be for the best for the team. But as a college football fan, I absolutely hate it that they're allowed to do it.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form. Wish I could.
I don't think it's good for the game, Andy, that these are the three game non-conference games that Penn State is playing.
Yeah, I don't think it's good for the game either. And that's why I say they've lost some of the luster off of them. Because there's really nothing to say about them other than, you know, when you're talking about the national picture, well, Penn State beat another cupcake. well, Penn State did exactly what you would expect it to do. There's nothing to talk about. There literally is, on a next level scale, for the better part of a month, there's nothing to talk about when it comes to Penn State football. You have to get through this bye week and another full schedule, and then you could talk about the Oregon matchup. That's the first time Penn State will be relevant on the national stage. That means your schedule, you didn't do anything to help yourself. For a whole month of the college football season, and for lack of a better term, Penn State has been completely irrelevant.
And I'll argue that's okay. Because if they beat Oregon next week, Andy, this out-of-conference schedule is totally and completely irrelevant. It is now already irrevelant.
They have to beat them.
The conversation stops about it, and they've had these 3 weeks plus the off week essentially to get ready for Oregon. And, you know, I have this discussion all the time. I know. 1-0 each week. That's who we're focused on. I get it. Yeah. But that's not what's going on, Andy, okay? Right. It's not. The coaches have had extra weeks to prepare for Oregon. That is what is going on. They are putting on film what they want Oregon to see, okay? Right. That's what they're accomplishing. Again, I don't like it. I really, really don't like it. But can you argue that that's what's going on?
That is what's going on, Jimmy. And they're not very appealing to watch, Jimmy. Let's just put it, I'll give you a perspective on this. That's, you know, of course, I'm going to watch the games because we are talking about Penn State football. I didn't watch an ounce of the second half last week when the game was live. I'm like, Georgia and Tennessee is just better football. I got tired of watching Penn State in the first half last week. I'm like, this is just boring. So I switched over and I went back and watched the second half already because I recorded it. But I'm just saying, at that moment, I'm like, it was an easy choice to make, and that's where they are. They need to jump back in. They need to jump back in and be more relevant.
Andy, if I were sitting at home in front of my TV, I am not watching the second half of Penn State Villanova either, with that Georgia-Tennessee game on. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter one. We'll stop debating the schedule. we'll actually take a look at the players and performance and what your concerns are. We'll do that as soon as we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter two. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. We're talking Penn State football. Andy, hopefully put to bed this out-of-conference schedule, how bad it was in quarter number one, had that discussion. Let's get to the actual play on the field. And, you know, Penn State's been routing these three teams. It's three cupcakes they were supposed to. But coming out of these three games, are you higher or lower? You're raising the stock or you're lowering it on this Penn State team?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Jimmy. I think I have to lower it a little bit. And it's not like a knee-jerk thing. It's more, I'm trying to find a reason to stay in it. I know the offense is very vanilla. It does not have a lot of next level, what you'd expect from Andy Kotelnicki. There are pieces of it that I'm enjoying to see and sort of build upon. I've been gravitating to the defense a lot during this, three-game stretch and sort of enjoying what they're doing. Offensively, it's a little bit maddening on that side of the ball to watch them. Special teams has been a little bit spotty. Against that competition, I was looking for a quarter and a half of like dominant fluidity where they just stepped on that one of those three football teams and turned around and walked away and said, business done. And that never happened. So that's where I, from my chair, I go stock down because they didn't do what a next level expectation of a team would be to do. I didn't see it over three games. And it was a pretty low bar, I thought, and I didn't see it. So I'm stocked down on them, Jimmy.
You're not alone, Andy. And I think we need to look at the offense. First of all, some of the third down numbers are ridiculous. Against Florida International, I think they were 3 of 12.
Correct. That is
against 100%. Florida International. I don't know if you were aware of this, but the Villanova game, it was a little bit better, I think like 5 of 11 or 12, something like that. But throwing the ball on third down?
Not good.
Do you know what the numbers are?
I don't know what the numbers are, but I watched it and I was like, okay, 5 for 5 to start, 3 for your next 12 in your passing game. That's not going to be third down success.
0 of 5.
Yeah.
That's passing the ball on third down. And and we'll get to some of the other things, the O-line, the running game, but Drew Aller has not been good.
He has not been good at all, Jimmy. I don't, I'm not saying this, but I'm like, are you deeply exploring during this bye week Ethan Grunkmeyer and what he can do? And because you're going to have to pull your quarterback. I'm not saying that's what you need, but you need to be prepared for that situation. His performance in next level big games, you've got 2 years of body of work. It is not necessarily that good and all that good, as we know. And as you know, you got to make sure that kid's ready to step in. I hate to say it that way, but you might have to yank him and sit him down and say, watch over here for a little bit, kid, and see if you can figure something out. I don't know.
No.
That seems extreme. No. That's
yes.
Not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen, Andy.
But the definition of insanity is to just continue with his mediocrity and expect it to change.
I don't think they're going to put a redshirt freshman in, Andy, to when you have a guy who's a potential first-round pick. The talent is there with Drew Aller. And candidly, I also, even the idea of, well, let's sit him down for a series, think about things, and maybe get a little kick in the butt, to get moving. I think you've got a young man who's wouldn't be able to handle the shot to his confidence, okay? Yeah. I don't think that's the right technique to get him going. I think for these 2 weeks prior to the Oregon game, those practices, I think they're going to practice him really hard and let him know he's got to up his game. I think he already knows that.
He does.
But he has not performed well, and it's not for lack of ability. He can make the throws. He can make any of them. He's just not doing it.
He's not comfortable and confident in his own skin as a quarterback. He has a ton of talent and he works hard. He is a hard worker, like a studier, film guy. He puts in, He does 8 or 9 of the 10 things you want him to do, but that doesn't translate onto the field. It's like going to the range in golf and like, man, I'm striping it, but you can't take it to the course. He can't take it to the course.
Well, Andy, you know, and it's not like he, when you say he can't, like he's never done it. We've seen him perform on the field, okay? And I don't know if this is still, you know, putting so much, I think it's putting a lot of, he puts a lot of pressure on himself. I think after how last season ended, and I'm just going to finish with Andy. I said it a year ago, oftentimes, why not just run that 2-minute offense that he runs so well? Because I think he gets out of his head and just performs, and you see it. And I find it interesting now, all of a sudden, we're hearing the media asking him that, James Franklin, that question in the press conference. Gee, he performs well, you know, in the 2-minute offense. Well, we saw that all the way back to last year often. I'd like to see him occasionally just, okay, this series, we're going to run the 2-minute offense because it has been working so well. Andy, I do want to ask you about some of the other items on the offense, what's going on. First, the big question mark going into the season was the 3 transfer portal wide receivers. What have you seen from them so far?
Yeah, they're better than what they were working with. They got a little bit of the drops, right? They do drop the ball a little bit more than you would like them to, maybe a little bit, just a little bit. But it seems like there's more diversity in them. They can do a little bit more scheming with them. They can kind of get themselves a little bit open against much lesser competition. I want to see that at a next level, like against, a Power 4 team per se, for example, like the Oregon Ducks. But I don't think they're a big part of the problem anymore. It doesn't look like wide receiver will be a continued problem for this offense. They're not the answer for a solution, but they can be a small, thin slice of the pizza and part of the answer. That's the way I see it. I give them a very small slice of part of the solution rather than being, you know, a very big focal point of the center of the problem. I don't see them as problematic in this offense. They're limited on what they can do, even though there's 3 of them. But collectively, I think they equal 1 receiver that can help this offense.
I think they've represented themselves pretty well. I think they've shown the ability to get open more so than the previous group of wide receivers. I also feel like, Andy, going into the season, there was a lot of hype for Khalil Dinkins. And I think you and I were both high on Khalil Dinkins, thought he was very underrated. But we haven't seen it from him. I think they were looking for him to step up. But I get the feeling that the youngster, Luke Reynolds, has passed him by. And that second, third game, Drew Aller has discovered Luke Reynolds might be that go-to guy.
It would fit the offense. It would fit what makes Drew Aller comfortable. And it seems like he would be a viable solution for them. He's not going to be anywhere near what Tyler Warren is. So it's not sustainable over 12 games, Jimmy. Tyler Warren was sustainable over 12 games. Luke Reynolds is not. That's just the way it's going to be. So don't expect Luke Reynolds to be the answer for this offense. It's more of a combination, a little bit of Luke, a little bit of wide receiver, a little bit of, passing out of the backfield, using your running backs in other ways. It's going to be a little bit more of a stew rather than a shining bright star.
Well, Andy, Tyler Warren was a first-round draft pick. He was an all-world player for the team. I don't think anyone's looking for him or anyone else to be the next Tyler Warren, especially not as a young player, second year in the program. But what I think Drew Aller needs is that reliable third down guy, third and four. Where do I trust I can go to just get me a first down? I'm not worried about getting downfield. I'm worried about getting a first down and staying on the field. I think Luke Reynolds can be that guy, Andy. A couple other things.
Sure.
We were going into the season really, really high on this offensive line. I think when we talked about the groups ranking, you know, position groups, you had offensive line number one.
I did.
Andy, what's wrong with your number one group there?
Yeah, Jimmy.
Shouldn't they be dominating these cupcakes?
So they're not playing well. I don't – with the assets that they have and the guys that they have and the experience they have, it is – everyone talks about Penn State's offense and the quarterback. And I'm like – I'm not saying they're part of a problem, but they are not playing well. And I don't – know why, Jimmy. I really honestly don't. I don't know. Maybe they need a little bit more. I mean, it's almost like Novocaine for them because they're really not doing anything. They have not been doing anything that requires them other than the basic block. It's just so simple, Jimmy. They're not doing anything. They're not comboing, doubling to get downfield or countering. They have hardly pulled any guys. You know what I mean? It's been very basic. So I'm just going to say basic has caused them to struggle, but it's a mystery to me. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know.
Well, Andy, all will be answered in another week when they take the field against Oregon. All right. We're ready for Ask Andy coming up right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It's time for your questions and we ask Andy. That's right. It's your questions. And Andy will give you the answers. Download the app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. All right, Andy, here's our start. Steve from Columbia, our buddy.
Hi, Steve.
He says, we have a very, very good team comprised of many, many very good players. However, I'm not too sure we have an it guy. Particularly on offense, a guy who will take over a game and will the team to a W in the fourth quarter, like Michael Robinson, Saquon, Kerry Collins. Closest guy, in my opinion, is Katron. He should start at tailback and be the closer in the fourth. Not nearly as confident as I was in my July prediction of a blowout against the Ducks. I'll take a W even if by one. What's missing from Steve's question is an actual question there, Andy. Right. So I'll let you just comment on what he said about not having an it guy on the team.
Yeah, you could turn it around and say, do you think Penn State has an it guy on offense this year? And no. Yeah, it's a relevant point, right? Like an it guy has intangibles and they usually have several intangibles. And, you know, they're, you know, when you look for an it guy at quarterback, right? And you look at Penn State. I'm sorry, it's Trace McSorley. That was an it guy, right? Like, that was – he had – Barkley was supremely talented. But when you're talking about an it guy, I think of Trace McSorley. I think of Saquon Barkley as your, you know, as your thoroughbred. I don't think Penn State has an it guy on offense. I think they have an it guy on defense, but I don't think they have an it guy on offense.
And, you know, I've often said, Andy, on this show, you can't win the big games until you do. All right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think in defining an it guy, I find it interesting, you know, some of the names that he put out here. Michael Robinson, definitely an it guy. Okay. Saquon, definitely an it guy. Kerry Collins was not an it guy until he became the it guy, okay?
Against Illinois.
He, well, yes, that's a perfect example in his final year how he was the it guy. But in his, as an underclassman, he lacked that. There were things, he grew quite a bit into that player he became and that we all remember. And I'll say it again, for Drew Aller, do the right things against Oregon. Have a USC kind of game, and Drew Aller all of a sudden becomes the it guy, Andy.
You're 100% right, Jimmy.
Yep. Until you are not the it guy until you do it.
Right.
Let's see next week if he could become the it guy. All right. We're going to go from Steve in Columbia to Steve in Chicago. And Steve from Chicago says, hey, Andy and Jim. He has me in brackets, Andy, and Jim. All right? Is that disrespect or not, first of all?
It's us. It's backdoor inclusion.
It is. I think he's just it's a courtesy, and Jim. All right? So, hey, Andy and Jim. First, a food question. Nuts or no nuts in cookies? Now for football. How much of the offensive woes is on Andy Kotelnicki? Season 2 should show improvement, but we're not seeing it. Keep up the great show. All right, Steve, by saying that, it's a great show. You made up for that little diss of Ann Jim earlier. So, Andy, let's start with nuts or no nuts and cookies.
Yeah, I'll take nuts. I'm okay with them. I don't mind them. Put them in a chocolate chip. Not in a snickerdoodle, but... yeah, I don't mind nuts in a cookie. You can drop some walnuts or some almonds or some pecans in there. I'm good.
It probably kind of depends on the cookie, but like you meant chocolate chip, okay? I think I like them better without the nuts, but there are other cookies where it's mandatory. So that's a tough question, and I'm not giving a definitive answer. You gave the better answer, Andy. All right, football.
When it comes to Andy Kotelnicki, I think a three-game non-conference schedule like this is would be a harsh judgment on him as a coordinator, because part of your intentionality when your schedule looks like this and where you're at Penn State at is don't turn any of your hold cards over unless you have to. They haven't had to turn any of their hold cards over. So I think it's actually been more difficult for them to stick to the vanilla script than to go outside of it. Stick to the script.
And I think, Andy, I can't put it on Andy Kotelnicki when the players aren't executing. And even playing a vanilla offense against the teams they're playing, they should be fine. And the other thing I want to point out is how important third down is. And once more, I'm stating the obvious, but if you're not performing on third down, if you're making the mistakes there, you're turning the ball over, okay? You're giving the ball back to the other team, and it really makes the offense look bad. They've done that. We mentioned the offensive line. You know, Nick Singleton hasn't exploded yet. I think he will. Some of the folks, you know, like Steve earlier said about he thought of Katron as the closest to the it guy. Do not bury Nick Singleton, okay, guys? Just don't do that.
Yeah, that's a mistake. They're not calling many plays that would put him in extra space. I just think let's wait. Nick's got some more meat on the bone. And it's going to be time to use it, say, oh, next week. But yeah, I just think the offense has been as it's been more dumbed down than I might have even thought it would be, because it has to be.
Yeah. All right, Andy, here's the question. I think this is the question of the week, but it probably depends on your answer. I am dying to hear your answer to this question.
All right.
This is Barry from Hagerstown.
Barry
asks, why does James Franklin struggle in big games? Is there something you could put your finger on? What I like about this question is Barry's not just saying, oh, James Franklin can't coach big games.
Right.
He's asking the right question, Andy. Why? What's going on? Is there a common thread here somewhere? Barry put you on the spot here, Andy.
Yeah, so I'll go back to the last big one, and I thought, in my opinion, it was the best, most complete game James Franklin's ever coached at Penn State against Notre Dame, and all his staff and coordinators and all that. It was exquisite what they did. And that game was outside the Penn State under James norm for a big game, in that it came down to, you know, like one player underperforming. They had put all the right pieces in place. When the roster is level, here's how I will clarify it for you, Barry. I got it. When the roster is more balanced, when they are not clearly the more talented team, you know, they're faster. They might be a little bit stronger. They might be more deeper at this position where your strength is. When the roster is more balanced, under James Franklin, Penn State teams don't perform at the next level that requires them to win even 30 or 40% of those games. Do you understand? Does that make sense?
It does, and I think you're on the right track, Andy. I think there's a difference in how he coaches these games. With if he feels like he has the better talent, he plays to win. Yeah. And I feel like first of all, when he plays Ohio State, he definitively has less talent. Okay, that's just look at the recruiting rankings. That's all you got to see. But, and I'll go back to Ohio State last year when he's, you know, inside the 5-yard line and runs the ball up the middle 3 times in a row.
Right. Yeah.
Has he ever done that before against anybody else?
Right. I agree.
With the game on the line against USC. Now, again, USC doesn't have the talent of an Ohio State, but they got behind. He was flinging the ball around, you know, pushing the buttons it took to win. Against Minnesota, the fake punt. You know, when he had the slim lead, he took that chance. They executed it. I get the feeling they wouldn't do that against Ohio State.
The first time against Notre Dame, they pulled every single one of those strings were pulled properly against Notre Dame. Everything. They did it all. They put all of it together, and they lost the football game.
Yes. Now, the one decision he made in that Notre Dame game, it's interesting, and this is going to counter my theory. I felt like at the end of the game, with the tie score, he let Drew Aller and the offense play to win as opposed to just playing to get it into overtime. He ran the risk, they threw the interception, and they lost the game. My advice to James Franklin, if you're put in that position again, do the same thing again. Absolutely. Play to win. That's how you've won games. That's who you are. And let's see it, okay? Just because it didn't work once, don't go into a shell. Play to win the game. That's, I think, James Franklin at his best. All right, we got a minute left. Last question. This one is Sammy from Hanover. Andy, how much of the offense is being held for bigger games? And is that even a thing?
It is definitely a thing. And I'd say it's 60, 70% of the offense is being held. But when the 40% that's 30 or 40% that's being shown is underperforming, that's where the concern and the problem comes in. I think they're holding a lot back. I think they've got to cut it all loose and let it play and let it fly. But what they have let be shown has been less than impressive.
They're not executing. That's obvious. Yeah. I think it's on the players. That's the case, Andy. But I also think with the play calling, I don't think, you know, they have third and five, and I don't think they're saying, okay, here's our best play, best chance to execute third and five. I think they're saying, I want to take a look at this. Can we do this or can we do that?
Right.
Because the games were never in doubt in those first three. Agreed. As we said, Andy, next week, everything will be answered. That's it for Ask Andy. Thank you for your questions. Stick around. We got one more quarter to go.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. But Andy, actually, I thought for this fourth quarter, we would shift gears a little bit. Take a look at the national picture. We're, you know, in the what is it, week four now of college football, and figure out where exactly we are with the college football season. And I think the best way to start with it, Andy, is who are the teams that have impressed you, surprised you in a positive way? Ooh. And after that, we're going to go the other way. You know that. So let's start because we're positive guys. That's you and me. Mr. Surprise. Positivity.
You dropped the surprise word in on me, which it's interesting because I was having a conversation while golfing with a buddy of mine. And we were, you know, talking about this exact thing. And I was labeling teams that I was impressed by. And he's like, well, what about these guys? And I'm like, yeah, I'm surprised by them, but that doesn't mean I'm impressed. And then you drop surprise on me. So
I had my
demarcation line, and you're like, no, you dropped me on the other side of it.
How about this, Andy? I'll open the question a little more. Uh-oh. Who have you been impressed by or pleasantly surprised by? How's okay. that?
Impressed by, I would put Ohio State on that list. Yeah, I know. You're like, what? Yeah, I know. But the performance against Texas and a little bit of the follow-up for what they were replacing, new coordinators and all that they had cooking, you know, Greenhorn quarterback, it's been impressive so far. I know they played a couple tomato cans, but they dominated Texas right out of the chute, and that wasn't necessarily as level a playing field going in as you might have thought, and Ohio State just made it their own. Florida State has impressed me. Florida State is a team that I will list as, you know what, I've been impressed by Florida State. You know, after that, LSU, I've been impressed by LSU because of the way they've done it, right? they played quality football. They won two quality football games. They were tight. They had to play those games inside a box. They haven't been like otherworldly, but I've been impressed by LSU. And the last one team that I've been impressed by, I've been impressed by Oregon, Jimmy. I have been overtly impressed by Oregon. And watching them very closely last Saturday against Northwestern, I was even more impressed. So I'll give you one surprise team, Georgia Tech. That team, yes. That team has surprised me, right? Like, I kind of like that team. They surprised me.
Do you know what I like about Georgia Tech, Andy? Their quarterback.
Yeah, I like their quarterback a lot.
He has it, doesn't he?
He does. He has every bit of it. The last team that goes on my impress list, Texas A&M. I told you about you at the beginning of the season, you're like, give me an SEC team outside the box that you think could be something. I'm like, they won't blow you away. I think they'll be very well prepared and coached, and they'll perform at a – and it's Texas A&M. They have impressed me so far this season. Texas A&M.
They have one of the best wins in the country, beating Notre Dame on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. But, boy, I just find it so hard to trust Texas A&M.
I agree with you. I agree. This is a short window, Jimmy. You're talking 3 weeks. Who has impressed you? So that's my sort of surprise impress list so far.
I'll throw Vanderbilt in there just for fun.
Yeah, a bit of a one-hit wonder, but hey, they did it last year and they've already done it again this year, right?
Yep.
They did it last year and they've already done it again this year. They validated.
Yes, that's it. Speaking of an it guy, their quarterback.
He means as much to Vanderbilt as South Carolina losing its quarterback, right? Their quarterback had all the it factors in South Carolina. He gets hurt, he gets out, they score 7 points, right? Like, they can't win a game. I think every as important and the it factors, he might be the most important player to a football team of any player in the country in what his perform and how he's doing it. And what he brings to the table, because he drags everybody along with him to the next level, not just drags them along for the ride. He drags them along and they kind of go to the next level. That's so hard to do.
South Carolina should not lose to Vanderbilt, even if they lose their star quarterback, Andy.
I don't know, Jimmy. He had so many it factors and was so important to them. But I agree with you. It should at least be a game. They shouldn't get Polak's.
Yes.
Right? Yes. They got Polak's. Smacked right off the football field. And that says more about Vanderbilt than it does about South Carolina to me.
All right, Andy, let's go the other way. Who has disappointed you?
Clemson is easy to pick. That's right at the top of everybody's list. Clemson, it should be no surprise that Colorado is disappointing. If you're surprised by this, then, you know, you really weren't. It's about the players to a degree in Deion's system, and it's not about the coaching. Well, now that a lot of NFL talent is gone, it's about coaching. So, but while I say that, I also love the culture and the way he invests into people and human beings at the next level. But coaching, that sort of X, Y, Z of coaching, just, it's not a strength. Dare I say it, Notre Dame, 0-2, massively disappointing. I know, Jimmy quit smiling and laughing and, you know, doing the celebration.
I just thought of something funny, that's all, Andy.
Notre Dame is definitely disappointing, and I don't think losing to Georgia is disappointing. Tennessee, I'm not going to put them on the list. UCLA has been disappointing. They fired their coach. That was a disappointment because you were like early in the year that it just – there's something amiss there, and it's disappointing. Texas not showing up against Ohio State. I mean, the score was close, and that was it. They didn't show up. And have they really done a lot to show you anything different since then? They're kind of in the Penn State realm with a bad loss, with not a bad loss, but a big loss saddled to them. They've become irrelevant a little bit. Penn State's was a different path, but they're both sort of there. And I'm, you know, those are my disappointments so far. Anybody else?
Well, I'll go individual Arch Manning, okay? Look at his numbers at UTEP. I think it was something like 11 for 24 for like a buck 10 or something. It was really numbers that – and actually, I'll blame the media off. Why were they coronating him, Andy? He hadn't – you know, he was a backup quarterback for the last couple of years. If he were so good, would he have been behind Quinn Ewers this whole time?
Yeah.
You know, could we at least let the guy show something first before we put him in the Hall of Fame because of his last name? As far as team, how about Alabama, who, you know, not just lost to Florida State, they didn't show up.
Yeah. I thought about Alabama. I think that was a very disappointing effort because they weren't prepared. That's coaching, right? That game against Florida State. I think since you look at what happens after that, because that matters too. And the reason I didn't put them on is they actually went back to work and Caleb's coaching that football team again. They haven't stacked on it. They had a very unimpressive, disappointing performance, and that is standing alone as compared to the rest of their body of work so far. I know it's against lesser competition, but it's been better against lesser competition. They've been significantly better. They were just not prepared. They're close, though. You're not wrong bringing them up.
I'm going to, you know, use Alabama with their big win against Wisconsin to segue into Wisconsin as a disappointment also.
Yeah.
They didn't show up against Alabama again. And boy, is Luke Fickell in trouble, Andy?
He's got to be, right, Jimmy? I mean, we're heading into a second full year of it kind of looking like this, right? Like it doesn't feel any different. It feels like it's the same. I mean, that was embarrassing. So it's reached an embarrassing point. Like, you can lose to Alabama. And I don't say it has to be a 7-point game. It's not that you lost. It's how you lost. And how they lost was bad.
All right, Andy, I want to do a quick look ahead because there are some of these teams. We're going to be talking about these in the next week, some of these games. I'm looking at the schedule this week. No Penn State playing. I like Michigan at Nebraska and Illinois at Indiana as two games that all four of those teams, we're going to find something out about them.
Yeah, I think you're going to learn a little bit more about Illinois than any other football team. There's my hint for you, Jimmy. You're going to learn about Illinois this year. I think you're going to learn a good bit on this stage. Michigan, Nebraska, no other college football team through 3 weeks that I kind of, you know, that I look at regularly. Nobody's been more of a chameleon than Michigan. They have been either A or B. There's nothing else. They're either one team or the other. So it's like, which Michigan are you going to get against Nebraska? This is Nebraska's prove it game. I think they almost have to win this football game.
It is, Andy. And I think if we were to have this segment next week, who are you impressed with? The winner of Michigan, Nebraska, the winner of Illinois, Indiana will go on that list.
Yeah, I think Illinois will definitely go on the list if they win the football game. They're built to beat what Indiana does well. I think they're in a position to dominate that football game. I expect Illinois to win in dominant fashion. That's why I say, talk to me next week about Illinois. I might be wrong. There's my bold prediction.
Okay, well, it's funny because I picked Illinois to win. I like the fact that, though, they're getting 4.5 points, Andy.
Yeah.
So it's at Indiana. I do think, you know, this could be a bit of an Illinois coming out party. All right, Andy, that is it for the show. That's our bi-week edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you, Andy. Thank all of you for joining us. Make sure you come back next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.